in him. He was God. They were still in fellowship together. Distance didn't separate him and God. They were still distant lovers. It was just as real whether they were right there next to each other or as far as heaven is from earth. That did not disconnect them. But what did disconnect them was the sin debt that Jesus Christ had to pay. Now look at this, because again, there are some things that we go through, some things that we deal with. And as we walk through the text, the first thing that I want you to understand is just because God is not visible does not mean that he is not involved. Just because he's invisible does not mean he's not involved. And the first thing you begin to recognize when you start to feel that you're in this by yourself, just because you don't see his hand at work, just because he's not opening door, making a way, delivering you the moment you think that you ought to, remember, just because he's invisible to you does not mean he's not involved in your situation. Matter of fact, he's right there coaching and refereeing the whole situation. Why is he doing that? Because he has placed limitations on the enemy. He has also given him instructions as to how much you can handle, bear, and deal with. And God is in the process, but he removes himself from the visible so that your focus would be on what he said. And whatever God has promised and what God has declared, he honors his word. And the question is, do you trust him? Do you believe him? Look at what David says, Jesus makes clear also. He says, verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. It's like, Lord, I'm crying. I am literally crying day in and day out, in the morning, in the nighttime. And it's as if you do not see me. Now, just because you can't see God doesn't mean God does not see you. And what you've got to remember is the devil's trick is to make you feel that you are in this thing by yourself. I am alone through my trouble, through my struggle, through my trial, through my tribulation, and it is untrue. God is there. Just because he's everywhere doesn't mean that he's in everything at every time. And all of this you're going to discover is so that God can develop you to that point and place where he is able to divinely deliver you and bring you to another level of living and experience with him. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, if God is holy, it means that he cannot be in that is unholy. And sometimes our tests are unholy tests to bring out the holiness in us. Sometimes God will let evil bring out good. Sometimes God will let your downfalls be your uprising. Sometimes God will allow your enemy to be the one that literally causes God to elevate you to higher levels. So you got to understand, God does not act in unholy ways, but he does know someone who does. And he's seeking whom he may devour. And every now and then, your name comes up. And when your name comes up, God, who is a holy God, will not do any evil to you, but he will allow the one who is evil to do some things to bring out the best that is in you. It's not this. Holy, holy, that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Wait a minute. God, here's what David is saying. I know you're holy. And if I can't find you nowhere else, I know you show up every time I praise your holy name. Listen, if he inhabits, it means he literally lives in my praise. He doesn't live in my complaints. He doesn't live in my crying. He doesn't live in my whining. He doesn't live in my always woe is me mentality, the victim mentality. But when I start thinking of Jesus and all he's done for me, and I open up my mouth and begin to think of the goodness of the Lord in my life and begin to lift him up, he shows up, if nowhere else, in my praise. That's why the devil don't want you to praise. That's why he wants to keep you focused on the negative. That's why he always wants you crying, because if you stop crying long enough and dry your weeping eyes and just get you a pen out with some paper and a pen and start writing down, one, he woke me up this morning. Two, he closed me in my right mind. Three, I still have the activity of my limbs. Oh, y'all not hearing me here. When you start listing what God has already done, you get to the point where you throw the pad down and say, if he don't do another thing, it's all right with me because he's worthy. Or the devil gets mad then, because you get glad over what he's already done. Sit down for a minute. I ain't even got to my preaching part yet. At what he says. Look at what he says. Our fathers trusted in thee. Listen at this, going back to the foundation. They trusted, and thou, you God, you did deliver them. They cried unto thee, you God, and were delivered. Listen, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. Wait a minute, David. I don't believe you understand what you just said. Let's see. You say our fathers trusted. So underscore trust here. They trusted in thee, and thou didst deliver them. Okay, David. Then they cried unto thee, and they were delivered. Then they trusted in thee again and were not confounded. Well, do you think that trust is a part of your trial? Trust is a part of your test? If God said it, can he back it up? And because he said it, look at what the word says. The fathers trusted in him. See, this is what you got to understand. If God has already said it, and you know he said it because it's written in his word. Anything that's written in his word is what he has already said. If he has said it and is recorded in his word, then the record is it's already established in heaven. If it's established in heaven and I add my faith or belief or trust to what he has already established in heaven, then it will be manifested to me in the earth realm. In other words, he's already done it up there. He just needs me to trust him to do it down here. Now listen at this. The reference is our fathers trusted you. What you said. Not what they wanted, but what you said. And if they trusted, the word is they were delivered. They cried, they were delivered. They trusted again and were not confounded. Because God honors his word. Now look at how he looks at himself now. But transitional word. I know what you did for them, but look at what he says. I am a worm. And he says, and no man means literally, and not even a man. Listen at this. A reproach of men, or to men, and despised of the people. Now the first thing he says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. You know how folk poke their lips out at you?
Yeah.
Then they wag their head.
That's it.
And you know, you can handle the lift, but when they go to wagging the head. Look at this. I mean, you know, they're saying some stuff they can't say, but you feel it all underneath the skin. You can say, I feel you. I feel you. I know what you're saying to me. But listen to this. I want to show you something that literally causes us to lose our focus on God when we place our focus on man. It's amazing how we never see ourselves the way God wants us to see ourselves, as victors and not victims, when we mistake our focus from God, displace our focus off of God and place it on man. One of the best ways to get discouraged quickly is to take your focus off God. I mean, you can be high flying. I mean, just enjoying life and get around the wrong folk. What you so happy for? What's going on with you? And you try to tell them, and you try to tell them, why are you telling them? They look at you like, I don't want to hear nothing else. I really don't. And then while you talking, the lips get to poking out of you. And you keep on, the eyes rolling, and if they've got some Native African American in them somewhere, the neck gets the, you know, all of that. And for you know it, man, they have not brought you just from the sky, but they put you almost underground. And you feel so bad, you like, before you get there, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And they want you to come where they. Look at what he says now. But I am a worm. Worms don't live on top of ground. I'm a worm, less than a man. That's not how God saw him. That's how David saw himself in his suffering and his situation. A reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Shoot out the lip, shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
Won't he make?
Get hooked on, it's a good thing.
Jesus. Come on, give God the praise. Come on, give God the praise. Hallelujah.
Like a policeman traveling through this land, he's serving a death notice to every woman and man. You're gonna need a lawyer. If I were you, that's the next thing I would do. Just ensure you are sitting here tonight. One day he's got a warrant for you. But you know what?
Can't run.
Can't hide.
No, there's no need to try.
Case. If I were you, I'd get lawyer Jesus. I wouldn't wait, I'd make haste. This is something you can't get around, no matter what you do. Just as sure as you're gonna hear my voice tonight, one day he's got a warrant for you. But you know, he'll take the babies from his mother's breast. He'll take the rich man and everybody else. Take mothers, daughters, father and son. Sometime he won't stop till he got that last one. But you can't run, you can't hide. No need,
no need
to try. Your number. He knows where you live, knows when you leave, and when you come home. Can't run, you can't hide. Well, my mind go back to a story in the Bible day. One day, God called a man by the name of Jonah. Said, now Jonah, I want you to go down in a place called Nineveh and tell my people, if they don't repent, I'll destroy that city. But you know that story. Jonah didn't want to go. So Jonah decided that he was going down to a place called Joppa. Then he went on down to the shipyard. He went on down to the ticket office and got him a ticket. And he was on his way to a place called Tosh. Then he went on down on the bottom deck, got over in the corner and went fast asleep. But what he didn't know, when he laid down, God was looking right at him. God was looking at him. Didn't bother him. All God did was he called a wind and he told the wind, I want you to blow. And he told the thunder, I want you to roll. And he told the lightning, I want you to flash. And he told the tide, stand up real high. Cause I've got a child that's trying to run and think he can hide. And about that time, the captain came around and told the crew member, pull all the anchor. We gotta get ready and set for sail. And then they tell me, thunder started to roll, lightning started to flash, tide stood up high, and the wind began to blow. Captain got confused, told all his crew members, out of all the time we made this journey, we ain't never had trouble before. And then he told all the crew members, come on the top deck. And then he asked them, tell me who is your God? Who is your God? Whoever your God is, I want you to call him. And about that time, another man came and said, wait a minute, Captain, there's one more man, and he's downstairs, he's over in the corner, and he's fast asleep. Captain said, let me go down, I'll see about him. Captain walked over and shook old man Jonah, and Jonah stood up, and the captain asked him, how can you sleep and we in a storm?